But we're going to check. Let's pause on that because we've got the authority on all things Boston sports joining us.
The guru himself.
We've got the longtime Boston Globe columnist Bob Ryan joining us, and he is the author of a book called Scribe, My Life in Sports. Bob, you're on the air with David and Carla.
Hi, guys.
Bob, glad to have you in.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, so what's on your mind?
Well, what's on our mind is, how good is it to be a Boston sports fan right now? First of all, congratulations on your series. We're watching the Patriots on their way to a win tonight, we think, and Celtics look poised. But let's talk Red Sox. We just think David Price is the best story of this series, but what stood out to you the most?
He probably was, because the narrative about David Price was so acute and so pervasive, and it was such a story up here that he had never been able to pitch well as a starter in the playoffs. He wasn't the only one, because, you know, they entered the playoffs with their number one, two, and three starters, Sale, Price, and Porcello, all for lifetime as starters in the playoffs. And that's one reason why a lot of us are a little apprehensive about what they would be able to accomplish, despite the fact they won 108 games. They needed to, you know, go do it all over again in the playoffs. And Price stepped up and got it done. And so he certainly deserves all the credit that you can give him. But it was a major departure from what he had done before. But he got it done, and now I think the narrative has changed, and David Price is now a very popular person in Boston.
We're talking to Bob Ryan, longstanding Globe columnist in Boston. So I have to ask you, I mean, the Red Sox, Dombrowski, he had basically seven starters when you include Pomerantz and Wright, who didn't play, and Wright, of course, has had the injury. But he had a lot of depth. Picking up Uvalde was such a pivotal pickup along the way. Pierce was a great pickup. How much credit do you give Dombrowski for this build versus Cherington, who brought in a lot of the young talent?
Dombrowski had an A-plus season. The guys that he had signed at great expense came through for him, namely Price, obviously, and Martinez, who was also not assigned until February, if you recall. And then during the season, you mentioned Uvalde, you mentioned Pierce. You have to throw Kinsler in there, who made contributions, guys that they picked up along the way that made very significant contributions. So Dave Dombrowski was worth every penny that the ownership gave him. He has run this team very well. He utilized a farm system handed over to him by Ben Cherington and Theo Epstein to obtain Sale, traded two guys to Chicago for that. A lot of people felt that was a risky move. It wasn't at all. It was a great move. And then the guys he picked up, with his scouts or whoever advised that, or whether he knew what he knew himself about Uvalde, and that he was the guy that he would want. And Pierce, who now has played on all five teams in the American League East. Dombrowski gets a four stars, gold star, however you want to phrase it.
We're talking to Bob Ryan, longstanding Globe columnist. So the Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez did not have great series. Could you ever envision the lineup would have been so explosive without those two?
Not necessarily. I think we expected. Now, Mookie's first two playoff appearances weren't that great either.
Yep.
Nor was Bogarts, or Benintendi a little bit. So it was the other guys that came through as much. Obviously, Pierce has become the MVP. A pinch-hit home run by Nunez, three-run homer. A pinch-hit home, three-run home run by Mitch Moreland. Another pickup from a year before of Dombrowski, both of them. So, you know, you got to give him credit for those two guys, too. So, yes, they did it despite not getting major contributions from the killer bees out in the outfield with the best defensive, except for Bradley, of course, who had come through in the other series with big hits and was the MVP of the ALCS. So all in all, he doesn't get credit for that. Bradley was signed by the previous administration. All three of those guys were, as a matter of fact. They were drafted. They were all drafted guys from the Ben Cherington administration. So it's a combination. It's always a combination. You know, when they won in 04, I remember looking out at the field when they beat the Cardinals in 04, and you had three guys from Luke Gorman, you had three guys from Dan Duquette, you know, and you had three guys from Theo Epstein. I mean, how great was that? So that's what you need. In this case, it was a combination of Cherington and Dombrowski.
So Craig Kimbrell, the closer, struggled. He was sort of rocky in the postseason. What's his future look like next year?
Dubious, frankly. I think that they are really not. I wonder if they're going to be willing to invest a great deal of money in him based on the way he faltered in September and in the playoffs, maybe they can develop Joe Kelly into that guy. Joe Kelly, you saw what he could do in the playoffs. We waited, and the Cardinals waited, and the Red Sox waited as well. They sweated through a lot of down moments with Joe Kelly trying to get the ball over the plate. But what you saw in the postseason was what both the Cardinals and the Red Sox had always envisioned for him. And maybe at age 30, he can become that guy. You know, they've won four different World Series now and since 2004, and everyone with a different closer. Closers don't have great shelf lives unless your name is Rivera, as a rule. And so you're always able to go out there and find a closer. I don't think they're going to invest a lot of money in Kimbrel. I may be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody will at this point.
No, that was discouraging, although they claimed that they found out that he was tipping his pitches and that was the answer. But then when the biggest game came, the moment of the year to clinch, they did not turn to their official closer. They turned to Chris Sale. And I think that tells you something.
And, Bob, we've talked about, you know, obviously the MVP, David Price, and it also could have been Steve Pierce. What about Alex Cora as the other MVP? I mean, let's talk about his influence on this Boston Red Sox team. Is it his youth? Is it his ability to really relate to the Hispanic players well? Or is it his, you know, mentorship under A.J. Hinch? What is it that Alex Cora, he should have bought a lottery ticket this week. Every decision he made, it was impressive. And I'd love to hear from you. What was it?
All the above. And it's not just his ability to relate to the Hispanic players, which, of course, is a given and why bilingualism is a very important asset in modern sports writing, for that matter. But the fact is that his command of English is not just technically good. We've had other guys who were technically good, such as Pedro and David Ortiz. But this guy is colloquially good. He understands American history and culture. He understands Americans. He went to college at Miami. He gets it. He's a Puerto Rican who came to America and totally embraced American culture. He's a hybrid of both. He's the ideal modern manager, 42 years old, recently removed from playing, understands the modern game, embraces analytics, but is not a slave to analytics. He understands it's a combination, ultimately, between human beings and analytics. He had so many examples this year of where his personal touch was important. They needed a new voice. They got it. John Farrell wasn't a bad person, but he was analytical, a professorial, and a little remote, and it wasn't registering anymore. They needed someone new, and they found that guy. I can tell you this. 10 years ago when he was a player, and this is hardly hyperbole, I was one of many writers who said, there's a manager. It was universal in the assumption that that guy would be a manager someday, and now it's all come to life.
Well, you said it first, Bob. You get the credit.
We're talking to Bob.
He deserves a tremendous amount of credit. They could not have done it with a different voice. There may be other guys out there, and plus what he learned from A.J. Hinch last year, mm-hmm. sitting at the right hand of that father and absorbing how he manipulated the bullpen, how he absorbed that information to go along with what he already knew. He was totally ready to do the job, and he got the job done.
Bob Bryan joining us here on ESPN Nation Radio. About a minute left. Is this Red Sox team one of the best ever for the Red Sox? I mean, 2004 has all emotional value, but this team has won many more games.
The team to compare them to was not 2004, it's 2012. Yep. That's the previous best team in Red Sox history. The team was 105-47, the best winning percentage in Red Sox history. Won an 8-game World Series against the Giants, a great World Series when it was best of nine, there was a tie. That's the benchmark, not 04, and they're up there with anybody in the Red Sox history, winning 119 games, beating three terrific teams in the playoffs, beating two 100-win teams, beating the Dodgers, only losing a game per series. This is the best achievement in Red Sox history, no question. Hey, if 2012 had to play three series, maybe they would have done it. We'll never know. All I know is that in the modern era, this team is number one.
Awesome stuff. That's Bob Bryan. Bob, thanks so much for joining the Boston Gloss ESPN Radio.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.